In biblical days, the Roman Empire was built on slave labor. Every time the Romans conquered a region, they took more slaves. And those who study such things, the scholars said that there were actually more slaves in Rome than there were citizens. The wealthiest people in Rome could own as many as, are you ready for this, 10 to 20,000 slaves. Wow, can you imagine? The slaves had very little protection. They had no legal rights. They weren't considered to be people. They were considered to be property. And therefore, the slave owner could do anything with them that he wanted to. He could mistreat them in any way. He could even kill them if he was displeased with their service. And death was the common punishment for any slave that would run away. With that as a background, let's look at the Bible. One of the shortest books in the Bible is in the New Testament. It's the book of Philemon. One chapter, 25 verses, that's it. It's about a wealthy Roman slave owner. His name was Philemon. And one of his slaves, Onesimus. Philemon had become a Christian through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And in fact, Philemon and Paul had become very good friends. Here's the situation. Onesimus, the slave, stole from his owner and ran away. He just signed his death certificate. But what happened next sounds like a plot of a good movie. Because somehow Onesimus met the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul converted Onesimus to Christianity as well. And that is when Paul wrote a letter to his good friend Philemon, and that letter is the book of Philemon in the Bible. I'm going to share a portion of it. Paul said, "To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man," can anyone identify with that? "I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." He's become a spiritual father for Onesimus. "I am sending him back to you." Can you imagine? "I am sending him back to you. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. And if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given back to you." And then he signed it in his normal way, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Grace. His whole letter was about giving grace. Now, you can probably imagine how Philemon must have felt about that letter. He was probably thinking, "What? You want me to forgive a runaway slave who stole from me?" And you can probably imagine how Onesimus felt about the whole thing. "What? You want me to go back there and put my life on the line? For heaven's sakes, they kill runaway slaves. But Paul was probably thinking, when you really get to know Jesus, he loves to repair broken relationships. He loves to put broken people back together again. Now, as I look around this room, what do I see? I see people who have lived for decades. I see some people who've lived for many decades. And if I had to guess, no, I don't have to guess, I know. Along the way, you've had some speed bumps. Some little ones and some big ones. And some of them probably resulted in broken relationships. Even worse, some of them may have ended up with broken people. You've either been there or you know somebody who has been there. I'm talking about when you were deeply hurt by someone in your life. Maybe it was a marriage that failed. Maybe it was a boss who fired you. Maybe it was that rebellious child. Maybe you were part of a church split. Broken relationships. Whatever it was, you were hurt, or someone close to you was hurt. And of course, that may not be in the past. Some of you may have brought that into this room today. Paul got into the middle of a situation with that runaway slave and that slave owner, both of whom had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And Paul set out on a mission, and his mission was reconciliation between those men. And here's what Paul had going for him, in that both of those men were now Christians. Both of them knew what they were supposed to do in this situation. They knew that they had a higher calling because of Christ, a higher responsibility because of Christ, to seek reconciliation. And I know you remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar and then go be reconciled to your brother or your sister first, and then come and offer your offering. Here's a very important part of what we're talking about. You can be the conduit. You can be the initiator. You can be the one that drives the link for reconciliation between people who are broken. But that means you've got to step out in faith. You've got to take that scary, scary step of doing what Paul did. You may not feel like you're brave enough to do that because you're afraid that you'll fail. The fear of failure is one of the greatest immobilizers there is. You may feel like you're going to fail, but you know what? You're not the one that's responsible for winning or losing here. You're simply doing what Paul demonstrated to us. Healing is God's part. Louder. Amen. Healing is God's part, not mine, not yours. We can be the conduit. There are hurting people everywhere. Have you experienced this? Hurting people tend to be withdrawn sometimes. And other people, even in the church, will pull away from hurting people. I can't deal with this. I don't know what's going on, but something's wrong here. I don't want any part of it. Just when they need encouragement the most, they're shunned. Maybe you've heard of Friedrich Nietzsche. He was a German philosopher, and he was also an atheist. And he had some quotes that make Christians squirm. And one of them is this: Christianity is the only army that shoots their wounded. Ouch. I don't know about you, but I have seen that happen. We human beings have a great ability to hang on to grievances, to dredge up stories about people that hurt us, disappointed us, and wallow in unpleasant memories. Maybe that's the kind of behavior that Friedrich Nietzsche saw when he gave that quote that Christians often will shoot their wounded. Are you guilty? Have you ever been the victim? Is there a need in your life for forgiveness? You know what? Let's stop. Let's pause just a minute. I'm going to ask you to ask God right now to bring into your mind a name, or maybe multiple names, of someone in your life with whom you need to have forgiveness or reconciliation. All right, listen. Listen to God's voice. Paul gave Onesimus a second chance. Is there anyone in your life who needs a second chance? I can think of a number of biblical characters that were given a second chance. I can think of Jonah, for instance. God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. Well, Jonah didn't want to do that. So he got on a boat in Joppa, and God sent judgment in the form of a whale. You remember that story? But then God gave Jonah a second chance. I can think of Peter, who denied Jesus three times. And God sent judgment in the form of a rooster that crowed and broke his heart. And later, Jesus gave Peter a second chance and turned him to a great father of the church. I think about Paul. Paul attacked Christians and persecuted Christians. And God sent judgment on him too. He struck him blind, helpless. But Paul became the most dynamic and influential apostle of them all because God gave him a second chance. And Paul is now advocating a second chance for Onesimus. And what did Philemon do about it? Well, it would have been nice if there had been a second chapter in the book of Philemon, but there's not. As far as the Bible is concerned, we really don't know what he did with that assignment. However, 50 years later, one of the great famous Christian fathers of the church, Ignatius, wrote a letter to the Ephesians. And in that letter, he addressed their wonderful minister, their bishop, Onesimus. And he quoted the Apostle Paul in that letter, identifying Onesimus as being the same guy, the runaway slave, given a second chance, now a pastor, now a minister, a bishop of the church. Sometimes when we forgive other people, when we reconcile with people who may have hurt us or maybe we've hurt, we can set them free to serve God. Are you listening? And that brings me to this. Earlier, I asked you to pause and stop and think and ask God to bring into your mind a name. Who needs reconciliation the most? Did any of you put your name there? Colossians 1:21, and you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, Christ has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And this from 2 Corinthians 5:18. And this, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I close with this, John 8. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus to be stoned to death for her sin of adultery. And Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. That was grace. That was grace. Brothers and sisters, you have received God's amazing grace. And God does not want you to keep it to himself. He wants you to share it with others. Let's pray. Lord God, this is a heavy teaching, and one that each one of us needs to hear and take seriously. And how I thank you, Lord God, that you do not give to us what we deserve, but you give to us your grace through Christ. May we live like it. May others see that grace in us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.